Thank you for subscribing to InvestTalk. We'll begin in just a moment. KPP Financial Senior Vice President Justin Klein explains why a registered investment advisor firm wants to talk about real estate.
Your home is an important piece of your total financial picture. You need to make sure that when you do retire, you have a plan to maybe relocate, downsize if need be.
Contact Justin directly with a note on investtalk.com. Just select Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is February 2nd, 2016. I appreciate you being with me. We're here to bring you some ideas, approaches to managing your money, both as you're earning it and then how to invest it. And another important phase is how we manage our money in retirement. I know that's really, really important. So we're here to talk about all these important issues. We welcome your questions about any money topic. And we answer your questions from our 24-hour listener line, as well as we're live today, Monday through Friday. And you can send us an email to, you know, on our website, investtalk.com. Just click on Contact Justin or Contact Steve, and we'll be happy to answer your questions. And again, I'm Steve Peasley, and welcome to InvestTalk, everybody. If you have money questions, give us a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. Well, the stock market started off the year with some pretty good old-fashioned turmoil. I mean, January was a bad month. There's no way around it. You have to say January was a bad month. It was the worst start of the year ever. I mean, in the last 8-9 days, we've had somewhat of a bounce, but it's been pretty meek. It had a great move up on, what was it, Friday, not, you know, or Monday, and not so good today. I mean, it's just been a tough, you know, day, not a tough month, and it doesn't look like it's going to be any, I think it's going to be a tough year. It just feels like it. This is just a reminder of investing can be very risky. You have to understand the risks. And today we're going to talk about a tactic that can help smooth out some of the nerves about investing and try to smooth out the bumps, the ups and downs, because you're, you know, volatility up and down. When do you buy? So that's the hardest thing. Do you buy all in one day? Do you spread it out? What's the best way to do it? So we're going to give you some hints maybe. So how do investors react to the midst of all this volatility? And by the way, that's a question we're going to address on our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. As with, you know, as with all our conferences, we will give you an honest assessment of the investment climate that we're in right now. And maybe introduce some realistic, common sense options for you to consider. And we'll hope to develop a strategy. We have a strategy going here. And we hope that maybe we can help you understand the strategy we're using and what strategies you can use. What are your options? So if you're listening in the Bay Area, please join us in San Jose on February 20th. This is a 3-hour conference from 9 to noon. If you sign up by February 12th, you can shave $10 off the $45 admission cost. So do that on investtalk.com. We provide breakfast, we have handouts, we give away books. We try to make it worth your time to be there. Now here's a question for you. Maybe a conversation starter today. What are you doing with the money you've saving with all that lower gas prices? What are you doing with that money? You're saving a lot of money. I read somewhere today that $2-3 trillion over the next few years of savings, wealth transfer from you know, oil producers and drillers and all those guys to the consumer because oil prices are so low. So profits drying up. For all those companies, and there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies in those companies, and that money is going to, you know, from the low oil prices, low gasoline prices, to you, the consumer. What are you doing with all the money? You're saving it, you're paying down debt, you're investing it. It appears consumers may not have that much confidence. Economic data has been good, but not great. Consumers are focusing on economic negatives rather than the positives. And they're choosing to pay down debt and not buy big ticket items. I mean, yeah, we have car sales are doing it, which is big ticket items, but other things, you know, washer dryers and redo the house. I don't know, all those other things. So what are you doing? Our number is 888-99-CHART. Love to hear about that. Also this hour, since so many folks are investing in mutual funds in their 401ks, how do you find a good one? How do you look for good mutual funds? How do you... Yeah, there's one way you don't do it. There's a worse way is look at last year's winners and then buy that one. That's not the way you do it. That's the worst way to do it. We're going to talk about that on Invest Talk 101 today. Now, in addition to your questions, we're also here to provide some encouragement. Don't get too depressed. Don't get too down. There's, you know, it. You know, think about the last couple of times the market has tanked. What happened after a year or two after it tanked? And it hasn't even tanked. People feel like it is, and it hasn't. It's only gone down to about, what, not even 10% and bounced. 10%, that's not bad. So we need some, you know, I'm not saying the market's going to turn around and shoot up. I'm just saying, you know, take a little bit longer approach here. Don't panic out. Don't panic in. Take a longer approach. So maybe we need to encourage you. So we're open. Any money questions, everybody? Let's take one. Let's take a question right now. 24-hour listener line is always open, 888-99-CHART.
Hi. My name is Judy. I live in Bay Area. So I'd like to know, what does a negative interest rate mean? How does that affect to the stock market? Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you're probably talking about what Japan did. A negative interest rate. What does it mean, negative interest rate? Europe has been dealing with that. That means the government, when it issues debt to, you know, try to spark their economy, they issue debt, the government pushes money into the system so that people can easily borrow money or use money to grow their company or whatever. They're trying to stimulate the economy. And what it means when they go negative, well, think about our U.S. treasuries. Our U.S. treasuries are not negative. You know, a 10-year treasury pays 2% or whatever it is, 2.5%, I don't know for sure. But if you bought that 10-year treasury in Japan, you'd have to pay Japan money to buy the debt. And you say, well, who in the right mind would ever pay money to buy bonds? Well, think about it. If you are a big institutional investor or you're a pension fund or whomever, you know, big companies, and you're required to be very conservative with your money. Where do you, you know, where can you, how much money, you got to put that money somewhere. And so it might be cheaper for you to park it buying 10-year treasuries at, you got to pay 0.2% to borrow the money. Instead of them paying you interest, you're paying them to borrow it. And what does that do? Well, that means that if the Bank of Japan or whomever, if they issue more debt and then they spend that debt on infrastructure, they spend that debt on something or to try to spark growth in their economy, and that's what that means. The stock market likes it because it pours more money. It makes money less stringent in the system. And much of that money has been going to the stock market to push up stock prices over the years. And that's really not what it's supposed to do. So what's happening is, even though the debt is getting lower and lower and now some negative debts around the world, it's not really working very well. But that's, they don't have a lot of other options that they can try. They're trying everything they can and they're just not doing a very good job. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
Thanks for the call.
Hey, what do you think of the iShares Financial Services ETF? The ticker symbol is I is in India, Y is in yellow, G is in George.
Yeah, someone asked me about what do I think about the financials, the banking. Should we get into that? And this is what this IYG is. It's exchange-traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the Dow Jones and Financial Services Index. I don't think they're done, Bobby, done going down. I don't think we have a shakeout yet. We had a bounce from a low with the market, but it bounced way below the August and October lows. And I think it was, you know, that you still have another leg down. I don't think we're done with it because we have a lot of bankruptcies coming out of oil industry and the shale, S-H-A-L-E, shale. Shell producers out there. There's going to be a lot of more bankruptcies, and that means more junk debt going to go belly up. And so I don't think we're done yet. So I would wait. I'd be patient at this point, Bobby.
Okay. So do you think it's better short the financials right now?
Well, I think that's a better bet at this point than going long. I will say this, though. I do think the market's going to set itself up for a very good buying opportunity, but I just don't think it's yet.
Got it. Okay.
Thanks for the call,
Bob. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Market volatility can be an opportunity, but like any other opportunity, you have to be prepared to cash in. Our next Saturday Morning Wealth Conference is titled Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. Where do you see opportunities right now? I've told you clearly on this show, I think it's in big oil. Why do I think? Not today, not tomorrow, but there's opportunities there. So come to our Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon wealth conference, February 20th, San Jose. And if you sign up, you can now early before February 12th, you can get $10 off, save from the $45 entry fee. And that's investtalk.com. Chart, everybody, is our number. One way investors sleep better at night. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Also, I want to talk about what assets worked in January and what assets did not work. And what was the returns? The more interesting is what didn't work and how bad they were. That's more interesting. I mean, the good returns, the best return is like 5.2% for the month. The worst, minus 21.02% for the month. So we're going to talk about that. Forecast for the S&P 500. Credit Suisse changed its number, lowered it. So what's the forecast for the 2016 year? And I want you to keep that in a grain of salt here. These experts are often wrong, very often. And what is Warren Buffett buying? And he's bought more and more and more of this stock. And bought more in January. He bought 2.54 million shares of this company in January. I mean, what is it? What is he buying? What does he see value? Remember, Warren Buffett is a deep value player. He's patient, and he buys things when he sees them on sale. So what is he buying? And I think that gives us a hint of what he's thinking. And I think that's always a good thing. Now, at some point, Warren Buffett is not going to be as good as he's been. But you can't argue with the performance over the years. He is a deep value investor. He looks for value. And he buys and holds for long term. Not just, I'm going to hold on to it for a year. No, his holding period, if you give him a choice, if you ask him, he'll say, my holding period is forever. I buy things. My plan is to hold it forever. Now, mind you, that doesn't mean he doesn't sell, because he does. He goes in with the plan to hold it forever. But if things change, he's not inflexible. I think that's kind of the key for every investor. You have to be a little bit flexible. You can't just, say, I'm going to do this no matter what. And one thing I've learned over the 30-plus years I've been investing is don't ever say, I will never do something. Or stay away from the absolutes when you're talking about the stock market. The market will never do this again. The market will never, no. The market always will. No, it won't. Always and never. Stay away from those words. And when you're dealing with the stock market, because you got to be flexible. Things change, and they change in different ways. Over the years, you could say, well, this is just like it was back then. But it's always a little different. The cycles are the same, but something different about the cycles all the time. Is now a better time to buy or sell? Should you spend money on your home before you put it in the market? How much? And on what? If you have real estate decisions to make soon, why not talk to us? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi Steve, this is Ravi from San Jose. My question is, what is your opinion about REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust? If you want to be conservative in a portfolio, I think since REITs can need to invest 50% of their equity in real estate, it's more conservative approach. please validate this opinion. Thank you.
Okay. What do I think of real estate investment trusts, REITs? And REITs, by definition, to become a REIT, you have to pay 90% of the income of the REIT to the shareholder in the form of a dividend to qualify a REIT. If you qualify as a REIT, you don't have to pay federal income tax. The REIT does not have to pay federal income tax. You have to pay taxes on the money they pay you in the form of dividend. So REITs are known to pay high dividends. That's what they're designed to do. And so he's saying, well, what do I think about REITs? Well, REIT, there's so many different areas of REITs that you can't just answer that question, because I could say, well, what about financial REITs that just deal with real estate mortgages versus a warehouse REIT that just buys warehouses and rents them out, or a REIT that acquires retail locations, stores across the country, or an apartment REIT? See, they're all different. And I'll say this, I think REITs are a very good investment long-term for the dividend investor. You want to buy them when they're inexpensive, and that's when you really want to buy them. For instance, if you look at some of the REITs are quite expensive, because people are searching for that dividend. So it depends. I can't just give you a one answer and there you go. That's a REIT you should buy. As I'm scanning through a number of REITs, every one of them PE ratio is well above 20. And that's just expensive. They shouldn't be that high. There's no justification for them to be that high, other than people are searching and stretching and trying to grab higher and higher yields, pushing these prices up. And that means that the values are not there. They're not a value play at this point. Now, that's not all REITs. I'm not saying that across the board, but the ones I've just scanned through, about six or seven of them just fast, they all seem to be pretty expensive. So yes, they have a good place in your portfolio, they should be, but when you buy them, it's difficult. And I wouldn't buy them now, when they don't attract me at this point, because they've gone up in price too much. They're not cheap enough. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We've talked about how to pick mutual funds before, and we all know you don't want to buy a loaded fund. Loaded means don't pay a commission to buy a mutual fund. There's just many no-load funds, or there are loaded funds, non-commission versus commission. Okay, so, but how do you pick them? And I always start off with how you don't pick them is you don't look at last year's winners and say, that's the one I want. You look at 3, 5, and 10-year returns and find out, and you compare that mutual fund that you're looking at with its peer group. And you can do this at like Morningstar.com. Are they the best mutual fund in the large cap blue chip stock fund? Are they the best fund in small cap growth fund? Are they the best in foreign European fund? I mean, where are they? And compare their peer group with each other. Don't compare apples and oranges. Find the one that, you don't have to find the best, but find the one that is always, doing, is better than his peer group and takes less risk doing it if you can. There's many ways to look at that, and you can find that information at Morningstar.com that compares mutual funds with each other and peer groups. Where are they performing in their group? You can find that. What is their risk reward? Are they taking more above average risks and get above average returns, or are they taking below average risk and getting average returns? It's not that difficult. You also want to make sure that the manager that earned this 3, 5, and 10-year performance is the manager is still there, because that's the person who had the return. A lot of mutual funds are trying not to name managers of their funds. They're trying to say, group or committee or these five guys and, five women, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're trying to stay away from, one guy. because in the past, that one guy would go out and start his own fund because he's good. And so they don't want that kind of thing to happen. But that's how you start off to find your funds. And as I said, the best place to start is Morningstar.com, and make sure you compare apples to apples, same kind of fund with other kinds of funds in the same group. And that's all. Look at the top holdings, too. It's always nice to know what are the top holdings and how much. And one of the reasons why I say that is because what if a mutual fund manager decides he just loves one or two companies and loads up on them? They don't generally do that, but you want to keep an eye on that because that's very, very risky. So you want to make sure you understand what's going on. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I'd love to talk to you. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number, 888-992-4278. And you can call right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday.
Trying to understand how to evaluate some of the oil stocks.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. And now's the best time. You know, you can get a link to our featured Talking Point article. It's there on investtalk.com. Coming up tomorrow for our Talking Point, the key to investing an inheritance. And we welcome your questions and ideas, too, for money topics that you want to hear more about. Our anytime, anywhere number is 888-99-CHART, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. This is Invest Talk for Tuesday, February 2nd, made possible each day by KPP Financial. And we think it's a good investment of your time. Spend 3 hours with Steve and Justin on our Saturday morning wealth conference set for Saturday, February 20th in San Jose. Survival and opportunities in a volatile market. Early bird signup is now open on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Patrick in San Francisco. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Just a quick question. I'm looking at British Petroleum. I see that the share price has come down quite a bit, and the dividend looks really juicy right now. And I'm wondering if you think that would be a good time to start scooping those shares up.
Well, I do like big oil, Patrick. I'm really, if we're going to buy any more, we bought some already, but if I was going to buy any more in the oil patch, it would be the big oil, not the drillers and not the, the small oil plays and shells and all that. It just wouldn't do that. But big oil, if you believe oil prices are going to hover around $30, which is what they are to now, a little under $30, and stabilize, then this is the time you start to buy oil. Now, for British Petroleum, it went right down today, right where its low was a week or two ago. So this is where you would want to buy it because it has a big dividend, but oil stocks are still they're still under a lot of pressure. But I think you have to start buying them now. I really do. I would not buy British Petroleum. I would buy somebody else. But British Petroleum is a good, solid company. The reason why is British Petroleum is still expensive. You know, it's a 16 PE. It's going to make $1.63 next year, or 2016, and it's a $29 stock. So it's not cheap. You know, but it pays an 8% dividend, and I don't think the dividend's going to be cut. They haven't cut it yet, so I don't think so.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things that attracted me to buying shares of that company. I mean, I think it's over 8% right now.
It is.
Do you think it would be smart to use like a dollar cost averaging strategy to scoop up the shares, or I mean, if I had just a
I would buy some. I would probably do that. I'd split up my buys that way I don't, you know, I'm not trying to pick a bottom. You know, it's hard to pick a bottom. But, you know, it was down big today, almost 10% earnings. And ExxonMobil and Chevron, although they're all down. So, you know, because oil was down today. So right. I think if you feel oil is getting very close to the bottom, this is where you start buying it. And I think it's one of those buys where you say, just buy big oil and don't worry about it. It'll come back. It will definitely come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
Patrick, appreciate the call. That's BP, everyone. Thank you very much. BP, British Petroleum. I like big oil right now. I think that's where the opportunities are lying. Now, I'm not trying to pick a bottom because oil could still fall more. I'm just saying that many, many areas of the big oil, the prices are pretty attractive. The dividends are very strong. And how do you think, if you feel that oil is getting as low as it's going to go? Now, I'll say this. If we're going to a recession, oil is going to go lower. But in their last recession, oil went down into the low 20s. And that was a really deep recession. Here we are at 30 now, a little bit under 30. Now, we're not even in a recession. And if we get into a recession, how deep is it going to be? Let's go to Nick in Hayward. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Steve. How are you? Nice show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Steve, I have a different kind of question. Is there a rule of thumb or typically what kind of stock would you try to short it? Would it be like a high P.E. ratio or how would you, what's a typical thing you look for?
Okay, for everybody else, what he's talking about shorting, shorting a stock is when you think it's going to go down in value, it can sell it short, and as it goes down, you actually make profits. Just like if you buy it normally long and it goes up, you make profits. So shorting is you're predicting it to go down. And yes, I do have some rules, Nick, on shorting. I like to short companies that don't make money. I don't like to short. I like to short companies that are over $10 a share. Okay. I like to short companies that are in a sector that's going down. The whole sector is not doing well. So
that would be oil sector, right?
I wouldn't short if I don't like shorting sectors and any sector that's already gone down 50% or more. Another rule.
Right.
Because it's already been beat up, and I don't want to try to pick the bottom. I don't know where the bottoms are.
Because I heard you that the small oil company is going to go under maybe.
A lot of them are.
I said that yesterday or day before.
Yes, a lot of them are. A lot of the Shell oil companies are going to go under. But you'll have trouble shorting them, Nick, because they're very low price, and there's, you remember, what to short a stock, someone has to lend it to you to short it, right?
Because
you're borrowing somebody else's stock to sell it. And some of those, many of those stocks are not what they call borrowable. You can't borrow them to sell them short. So you have to go through your brokerage. I wish it was, it's not as simple as just buy them, because you can buy, almost everybody will sell them to you to buy.
But
someone to lend it to you so you can sell it, that's a harder proposition. They're not all shortable, especially low price, low volatility stocks. They're hard to short.
Okay,
Nick, appreciate the call.
And then typically, when do you buy back? I mean, would you say 10% or 15% or what?
Well, just like buying a stock long, you should have a target price where you think it's going to go. You know, either using charts or, you know, and that's the best way, I think, is to use a chart, because when they're not making money, it's hard to know what the value is. Because they're not making money. How do you put a value on it? You would use charts and say, okay, typically this stock has gone down this far and stopped going down. Or if you think the company is going to go under, you let it go all the way down to zero, you know, if you can. You'll make the most money. But remember, shorting is also risky, everybody. What if the stock goes up? As it goes up, you lose money. It goes up and up and up. And it could go up forever, and you lose an infinite amount of money if you don't get out.
That's right.
It's riskier than buying a regular stock. Shorting is riskier. Yeah. And Nick,
I'm just thinking because of this volatile market right here we're in.
I've been shorting, putting some shorts on at hedges in my stock account of the overall market, different parts of the whole market. Nick, appreciate the call. Thank you. One of the most popular topics on Invest Talk is real estate, mostly, I'm sure, because so many people have a stake in their real estate, their home. But real estate questions can be very specific. related to a person's individual situation. You know, are you close to retirement? Do you want to buy a smaller place? Or are you just, you know, your family's growing, you want to buy a bigger place? It's individual. So if you have questions about real estate, you can ask Justin or myself. Justin is a real estate agent. He has a license, so you can ask him those kinds of things. You can ask me. I bought and sold real estate over the years many, many times. So you can get a note to us if you want to ask an email. Go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin or Contact Steve, and we'll get right back to you.
Here's a money tip from InvestTalk. Pull out your budget at least once per month. Revise your budget as bills come in and adjust other expenses to make up for it. Maybe that's something you'd like to talk more about with Steve. 888-99-CHART is how to reach him right now on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, keeps buying these shares, and he's buying an oil refinery. He's bought 2.54 million shares of Phillips 66 BSX in January, a couple hundred million dollars worth. Now, he's up to like 10%. I think with this, if I do the math right, I think it's about 13% with this new buy in January. Before it was like 10%. Now it's like 13% of this oil refinery, symbol PSX. Now, and just so you know, Phillips 66 reported a 43% drop in profit and 38% slide in revenue. Remember, he's a deep value investor, so he sees value here. And if you looked at it a little closer, you can see the refinery income actually beat estimates at $475 million versus estimate of $416 million. So it beat its estimates in the refinery, but not in its other parts of its business, which, you know, it refines, you know, different chemicals and things. So if we read between the lines, Warren Buffett sees value. Remember, he's a deep value investor, sees value in oil, parts of oil. Obviously, refinery, remember, what a refinery uses as their input product is oil. The cheaper the oil, they refine it, and they can sell it at a profit. So they adjust it that way. So he kind of likes the refinery part. But does this say something about oil? I mean, oil companies? Is he telling us that, you know, oil prices are going to stay low for a long time? I think they will, by the way. I think they'll stay low for a long time. They will creep up. They won't, you know, they won't. I have said this before. I think, you know, the $30 to $35 area is where they're going to shake out, and right now we're a little bit below 30 today, and it looks like that's, you know, $30 is kind of where it looks like it's going to go. If we go into recession, it's going to go lower, and we got a lot of oil coming in from Iran. They're going to try to ramp up, and then you heard Russia and I forgot the other country saying that maybe they're going to try to cut production, to raise prices a little bit in some way, shape, or form. Russia is hurting terribly because, like all the other, Saudi Arabia and all the other countries, their budget, their governmental budget is dependent on oil and high oil prices. The more higher the oil prices, the more money the government has to spend. And I just read today that Russia, Putin, is thinking about privatizing some of their big companies. And there's something I would not get involved with. I just don't, you know, they were private. If you remember, a lot of the oil companies were private. Remember Yukos Oil, they're one of their largest or the largest oil company in Russia. And Putin, the CEO of Yukos, was supporting different politicians other than Putin. All of a sudden they had tax problems. They had so many tax problems that the company went under. And they put, I think his name was Khodorkovsky, put him in jail for tax evasion. He did nothing different than any other company did. Because Russia's laws are so Byzantine, it's impossible to follow them all. But I read one time that if you paid all the taxes that are required for corporations in Russia, if the corporations paid them, they would owe about 120 to 130% of their sales in taxes. Not profits, sales. no one could pay the taxes and stay in business. It's impossible. It was impossible. I don't know if they've changed that. Yeah. Because they have so many tax authorities that every, you know, every little entity tax you. But I don't know if that still exists. But this is a few years ago. Dan in Bonzol. If you've never been to Bonzol, it's in North San Diego County, inland, and they were known for strawberry patches. Do they still have that out there, Dan?
Yeah, they sure do, Steve. They got a whole bunch of them out here.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I've been looking at the liquefied natural gas area. I've been reading a lot about it for the last 2 years, and I thought I'd take a look at GLOP and see what you think about it.
Okay, that's Gas Log Partners. It's a limited partnership that owns and operates three liquefied natural gas carriers under long-term charters. Okay? It's a small-cap company, $458 million, so it's risky because it is small. Sales growth has been falling, but sales growth is still positive. 1% the last couple of quarters, but it's still positive. Earnings is still pretty decent. They made $4.93 a share in 2015. This year, they're going to make $2.29. So that's like a 50% drop. And then next year, about the same, $2.31. So they should stabilize, and they pay a really big dividend at 12.8. Dan, I don't think you should rely on that dividend because their dividend is probably being paid because they've been issuing shares. In 2014, 2015, they increased their shares quite a bit. They had profits, but how can you pay 12% on a $14 stock? It's almost all the profits. But I will say this. If you wanted to roll the dice and use a little bit of money here that you don't mind at risk, taking risk, this would be something you could take a risk at.
Well, they've got about, I think, $700 or $800 million in debt, and that kind of bothered me big time. But
I saw that, but the cash flow is $4.45, so they have a pretty high cash flow to service that debt. So I think they're okay, but it is a pretty high risk, Dan. It is a pretty high risk, so don't put too much money in it.
All right, I think I'll keep an eye on it, and if it pulls back, maybe I'll pull the trigger.
Okay,
thank you, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That is Gas Log Partners, GLOP. There's still time for your question or comment on our program today. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Our anytime number is 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. That's how you can get through, and you can do it right now here on Invest Talk.
Listen, I'm really glad I found you guys again. I was first introduced when you were on a local AM station out here and stumbled into you guys back on the internet.
InvestTalk is here to help.
Thank you.
And we thank you for listening.
Chart 888-992-4278. So what sectors worked and didn't work in January? A lot of these are used ETFs to try to represent the sector, and the best performers were all things that were safety related, running to safety. For instance, the best performer was iShares 20-year U.S. Treasury bond (TLT), and for January was up 5.22%. Utilities was number two at 4.9, and then gold, GLD, just gold, up 4.63 for the month of January. Those were your top performers. And the ones who were positive, you know, were iShares 7 to 10-year treasuries, 3 to 7-year treasury bonds, TIPS, Vanguard Total Bond Market, those are the ones that are positive. More instructive is what really took a hit in January. And the area that took the biggest hit was biotech, represented by IBB, the ETF IBB, down 21.02% for January. The biotech. Then United States Oil, USO, down 13.4%. Then Master Limited Partners is down like 13%. Then banking down 12, China large cap down almost 13%, materials down 11. Home builders are actually down 10.5, and that, you know, if you looked at the numbers, home builders look pretty strong for his numbers. So, but apparently, you know, people looking forward don't think that going forward is going to be about that. And financials down 8.8. Notice that the ones that are down a lot more than the ones were up. So it tells you the bias was way to the downside for the January, and we always knew that. You can think, you know, we've been talking about it all month. But those were the winners and losers. And for the earnings season, over 50% of them have reported earnings, the corporations for the S&P 500, 50% or more have reported so far. And, you know, so far, if you compare year over year, last year's earnings compared to this year's earnings, the earnings are down 5.8% from last year. Still have earnings, but they're down 5.8%. So there's no growth of earnings. And this will be the fourth quarter, will be the third quarter in a row where earnings have declined. And it's very difficult for a market to rally when they're looking at earnings that keep declining. The S&P 500, remember, earnings is the key to the stock market. You don't have earnings, stocks don't like to go up. Got to have earnings. And to be perfectly frank, I don't see this turning around for at least the first two quarters of this year. I don't see it's going to turn around. It could, but I don't think so. So we're still going to be dealing with a lot of volatility. Now let's try and throw one more call on the listener line before the end of the show. 888-99-CHART. It's open 24 hours a day. Here's a call that came in earlier.
Hi, Steve. With Justin. Love your show. This is Pete from Henderson, Nevada. My question is has to do with the PE. When you look at something like Yahoo Finance and it says the particular company has a PE of 15, and let's say in the past it was 18 or 19 or whatever, you know, what two numbers do you come up with to get to the 15 or the 18 or whatever the P is? That's really my question. That's it, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. Best show. Bye, guys.
Okay, PE. Those two things stands for price, earnings. Price of the stock divided by the earnings of the stock. That's the PE ratio. So what's the price of the stock today? Let's say the price of stock today is 20. Let's say the earnings for the stock are $2 a share. So 2 into 20 gives you a PE of 10. That's pretty low, right? That's pretty low. So it's the price of stock to the earnings of stock. Now, let's make it a little bit more complex. Are we talking about last year's earnings? Are you talking about this year's earnings? You're talking about next year's earnings estimates that you're trying to come up with a PE ratio? And you really should use forward-looking PE, earnings estimates, and divide that into the stock to find out what the price is, because that's what the entire market does. It looks forward. It doesn't look backward. And so you really want to know, when you're talking about earnings, what are you talking about? You're talking about the last 12 months' earnings? Well, so you got to, you know, when it says Yahoo Finance, what are they talking about? What earnings? Next year's earnings? Earnings per share estimates? And into the, today's stock price and get a PE ratio. But that's what it is, price over earnings. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP, I thank you for listening today. And I hope you'll be here tomorrow as well.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.
InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.